y'all seem like an enthusiastic bunch. Wow. It's not that bad, is it? Can y'all hear me all right? I didn't put that mic on, but leave that for Matt to wear during the meeting. He asked me to bring something tonight, and he told me I had as much time as I wanted, so that's scary. Then he started backtracking. I don't plan to keep you long, and we'll get done with this. But I kind of started reading some stuff yesterday and this morning, thinking about what I might talk about tonight. And one thing that I've been struggling with, and not necessarily, struggling with, and it's, and I think that many of you tonight probably struggle with the same thing, if you're honest. And I hope you are, but how many of us want to know the will of God in our lives? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about, because I struggle with this every day, how to know the will of God. And, many of us, I think about it daily, sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. How many times do you think about it? Or do you even think about it at all? It's a scary thought, isn't it? We as Christians, it ought to be something that's first thing we think about. It ought to be the last thing we think about when we go to bed at night, when we're praying. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to pray, that we're to never stop praying. The Bible also tells us that that we are to be servants to him. And how do we do that if we don't know the will of God? I was thinking about that. If we had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus and could ask him any question you wanted, what would that question be? Have you ever thought about that? I have from time to time. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about what I would say, I think the first thing that I would ask him is, Lord, what would you have me do? It's a pretty serious question. And then I would think about, what would you have me to do with my life? And I couldn't help but go to Saul's conversion, Acts chapter 9 tonight. And if you guys want to turn over there real quick, we'll dig into this and think about this for just a minute. And I truly, as I read this tonight and as we talk about God's will, examine your lives. How many of us truly think about this on a day-to-day basis? I think it's probably the most important thing that we can think about in our Christian lives is what's God's will for our lives. You know, we think about so many things. I mean, we think about, probably many of you tonight are already thinking about what you're going to eat when this thing's over with, right? I mean, that's important, right? Probably some of you may have skipped over that. Maybe some of you are already to, man, what time do I have to get up in the morning so I can be at work on time? Or what does the week have in store for me this week? And if we're honest, probably all those thoughts are to material and earthly things about our week. Let's just be honest. Probably not at the front of our minds is how am I going to serve God this week, but it should be. It should be. And so let's read here tonight, Acts chapter 9, and very familiar verses to everyone, I'm certain. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found in any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee that thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. You know, God has three wills. He has his sovereign will, he has his moral will, and he has his particular will. And you know, we see all three here very plainly in these verses tonight. You know, we see God's decision is always carried out. God's sovereign will is always carried out. Nothing in this universe is able to stop it. Do you agree with that? God is God, and he accomplishes what he wishes. And God's sovereign will is mysterious and is known only to God. We see that just in our prayer requests, don't we? We see a young lady who lost her life and left behind. God only knows. God only knows why he took that young woman. That's his sovereign will. You know, we struggle with that every day. I hear it in witnessing to other people. You know, why would I come to your God, one who takes good people to kills them? And we've come across that. There's no one's good. You know, Matt's covered that many times. You know, many people struggle with God's sovereign will. And then you have God's moral will. And this too is forever settled and is unchanging. Some things are right and some things are wrong. It matters not what society says. The moral will of God is revealed in the Word of God and in the conscience of men. You see, God's Word is truth. And it's not for us to argue or dispute. And then we get to God's particular will. He has a will that is particular and peculiar to your life. In my life. And that's what I want to get to tonight. And this particular will varies from saint to saint. Did you know that? Yeah, God's will for your life and my life are different. But guess what? His will is his will. And he has a plan for each and every one of us in this room tonight. And that's what I want you to understand. And you know, you see Saul's conversion there. I can assure you that Saul's trip to Damascus, he was not expecting what was about to happen. And that's the great thing about God's will. And many times, you know, we come into a church service or we come into a situation, and many times we don't expect God to show up and to show out. And the thing is that God will probably never he'll never show up and show out in a miracle like he did for the Apostle Paul. But most certainly he shows up and he shows out each and every day of our life. And you know, I keep going back to that verse where he asked Saul, why kick against the pricks? You know, I wondered for a long time. It took me for a long time to understand what he was saying there, kicking against the pricks. But those pricks, those are those pricks in our heart every day that call us to serve the Lord. And I promise you, everyone sitting here tonight under my voice has kicked against the pricks. Agree with that, because, you know, sometimes I still kick against them every day. It's hard. And that's the problem with God's will in many of our lives today. There's some misnomers that I think keep us from God's will, and I'll try to get through these very quickly. Number one, I think there's some misnomers that God will give you a roadmap. I think that's what many Christians today, we sit in pew, we sit in churches, we sit under the gospel, we sit under quality preaching day after day, and we think that, well, one of these days I'll just open up my Bible and there'll be a map in that sucker. And it'll be right there in plain black and white. This is what God wants me to do. Thank God. No. Quit looking for that roadmap. God does not give roadmaps. He gives relationships. Yeah. And as you follow him, guess what? He'll reveal to you what you're supposed to be doing. You see, many of us, we set like a knot on a log day after day after day, waiting for this great epiphany in our lives that's never coming. It's never coming. Yeah, those pricks, that heavy burden that you carry around in your heart day after day after day, that's God trying to lead you to do something. And yet, You wait for something to fall out of the sky. You know, I think the second thing we see with God's will is, and the reason that we don't do God's will is because God doesn't want us to have any fun in our lives. There's no way I could do God's will. He'll just suck all the joy out of my life. Well, I can tell you, folks, I have not had any greater joy in my life until I fully surrendered to God's will in my life. The burden that was lifted when you finally realize that God's will for your life is this, and that's the only thing I need to worry about doing, you'll never have any more fun. I've had the most fun in my life since the day I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. But you see, many of us, we think that God, he's this big killjoy, that if you surrender to him, you're going to be unhappy and your life is going to be over. And I couldn't disagree more. You know, the thing is many of us, we find ourselves afraid what we'll be asked to do. I think that's the problem. It's not about the fun. It's about what we'll be asked to do. You know, we talked about this tonight in Bible study. Many times our pride gets in the way of God's will. And then another misnomer I think that many of us have with God and his will is that he only speaks to a certain few. No, he speaks to each and every one of his children. Yeah, I'd be just like, that's just like the old adage that we have favorite children. No, we speak to all of our children. We guide and we direct our children in the ways that they should go. We don't have favorites. And trust me, God has no favorites. It's his will that we all know his will and it be seen by us. And God's will is not limited to any position or to any certain stature. He does not just speak to the Pauls or to the Spurgeons or the Grahams. He speaks to you and I, and he speaks to us every day. His will for every saint is for us to know his will. And you know, if we choose to follow him, his will and his will, you'll be led to a holier life. You know, and the fourth thing I noticed that we have that's a misnomer about God's will is you have to wait on that, what we've already read, that Damascus Road experience. You know, Saul's experience certainly was dramatic, but it wasn't normal. God spoke to Saul in an earthquake, but more often than not, he speaks to us in a still, small voice. When we're in our prayer closets, when we're on our knees, that's when he speaks to us. You know, probably speaking to someone tonight. He is. And the reason that is because I brought up the topic of God's will. You see, that's the problem. Many of us, we don't bring it up in our lives. We don't really choose to know God's will because, number one, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, and we like to be comfortable. We like to be comfortable. You see, God's work was never intended to be comfortable. It was never intended to be easy. You know, we talked about that this morning. We're to be exhausted. We're to be exhausted. And then the last thing, and this is the one that I see more, not more often than not, but a lot of times, God only reveals his will to the young. No, he reveals his will to everyone. And I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. When God's through with you, he'll take you home. If you're here tonight, you hear my voice, he's not done with you. He has something in store for you. You know, many times we give up and we give in when we get a certain age. No, God calls people of all ages and all abilities, and he never stops using his saints. Don't think that he ever will. And then, you know, we think about God's will is hidden from us and we have to find it. That's the absurdity of the Father hiding his will from his Son. God never hides his will. He reveals it. He wants you to know it. To think for one second that God would hide his will from you is just asinine to me. It doesn't happen. And so if you have not found your niche, if you have not found your calling, your groove, whatever you want to call it, you know, I hear it all the time when people come into church and, boy, they're looking for this, they're looking for that. You know, it's not easy. It's not. And I think that's the problem that we have today is we come into situations, we come in to things, and we're worried about fitting in and getting in and not ruffling any feathers, and that's hogwash. The thing is when we come and give our lives to Christ, we don't worry about what people think. We don't worry about the cliques. We don't worry about the groups. You should worry about what God's calling you to do, and you should do it no matter what. You shouldn't allow it to divert you. You see, God's guidance is provisional. We have to be willing to obey. We see that very, very plainly here, and I'll get through these very quickly. I want us to see these really quickly. We have to be willing to obey. You see right here in this account, he says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." We looked there, verse 6, it says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do?" You see, that's where we have to get in our lives. That's where we have to get to, guys. I know you think about Saul here, you think about how scared he was and how he was trembling, but yet he knew, he asked, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And that's where we have to get. Too often we make our plans, we set them in motion, and then we call God to bless them, don't we? That's what we do. And to genuinely do His will, we must put our will aside and be willing to do all that He asks us to do. The problem with doing God's will and knowing God's will is we want it to intertwine, and we want it to be in perfect alignment with our will. And that's never, probably ever going to be the case. And I think that's many times our stumbling block right there. As soon as God's will doesn't align with our will, we push God's will aside. I got to carry on with my will. I got to do what I got to do. You see, the way that we do that is we have to display a spirit of meekness. That is, we have to be teachable. You see, Saul had that teachable spirit. And the problem is, and I'll tell you plainly tonight, if you're not teachable, you're not ever going to know His will. And then we have to be open to God. We earnestly, sincerely have to pray for God's guidance. We have to report for duty, so to speak. And see, that's the problem. Many of us, we won't do that. You know, I read a thing, said, don't wait to be drafted. Just show up and ask Him what assignment He has for you. I couldn't have said that plainer myself. That's what many of us do. You know, we had a meeting down front today, and what happened? Who's willing to do this? And it's let me see who's gonna agree first. No, we should have had a cow trampling party down here over Kelly and Liz this morning of who's gonna get to teach VBS. I mean, that's the way I think about being open to God. We ought to be fighting for positions to serve Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. But yet, day after day, week after week, we struggle. We struggle to get people to do things, to open up. Just show up and ask. You know, many times we go, but God's not showing me anything. Well, maybe you should examine your life and just see how much time you've really spent in private with Him asking Him. Because I don't believe God doesn't show you. I don't believe He doesn't yield to those prayers. You see, we must be yielded to God as well. We see that in verse 8 and 9. And Saul arose from the earth. What'd he do? With his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. He was changed. He was yielding to God's word, and he got busy doing it. I think God and Saul knew exactly what was about to happen. And I think that's where many of us have to get in our life, is when our eyes are open to the Holy Spirit and it's right there in front of us, we have to be yielded to that, and we have to run towards it. And we have to use God's guidance, because it is so practical. It's so practical. He uses it every day. You know, God probably won't speak to us like He did Saul. He probably won't. We've known this. We know this was a miracle. But we can't wait for that miracle before we start to serve Him. See, that's the problem with many things today in our works, in our churches, is we wait for something exceptional and extravagant to happen before we move. Instead of rolling our sleeves up, and understanding there's work to be done. And yet, most importantly, I think God shows His will through His Word. God's Word holds the answer to all of these questions. You know, the thing is when we're in doubt concerning His will, we must go to His Word and study it and understand it. And then most certainly He shows us His will through His people, as we see here as He did with Ananias. You read on there in verse chapter 9, and we read to verse 10, it says, "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." You know, many times it's up to you and I to help others find their will and their way in Christ Jesus. It is. You think about Ananias, and if he wouldn't have been willing to go do what he'd do, we might never have known about the Apostle Paul. We might not have seen all the churches started from that one man because of the willingness of Ananias to heed to that small, still voice that told him to go to that house that night and find and seek that man. And then, like most of us, we must seek His and know His will through His Spirit. You know, Acts 9 and 17 says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And look what happened next. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." What a great event. You see, many of us, we have those scales over our eyes right now. And we need to heed to that Spirit. We need to heed to those people in our lives who, many of us, we shy away from or we push away because we know what they have to say isn't what we want to hear. It's that person who is bound and determined to spread the gospel. He's bound and determined to get you to come to church. He's bound and determined to fill the pews. He's bound and determined to build a church building. He's bound and determined to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's the person that you and I need to be in some capacity, whatever that looks like. He will guide us into all truth. John 16 and 13. One of the distinguishing marks of God's sheep is their earmark. God speaks to His people through the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit's here tonight. I believe He's speaking to us. I believe He's speaking to one of you. He may be speaking to all of us tonight. See, we must strive on a daily basis to know God's will. And I've given you plenty of excuses, and I'm sure we've all used every one of them once or twice in our lives. But I tell you, there is no excuse. If you're a child of God and He saved your soul, it's up to you, it's up to me to know God's will in our lives. No questions asked, no ifs, ands, or buts. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. And it's up to you and I to find it. Maybe His plan is bigger for some and smaller for others, but it's a plan. And we need to find it. I pray you listen. I pray that you understand. If you have scales over your eyes, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move in your heart and in your life, and they would remove those, and that you would see your will and your way, and that you not put it off. You see, that's the problem. Many of us, we know God's will for our life. We do. We just don't heed to it. Whatever that calling is tonight, if you don't know it, I pray show it to you. More importantly, I pray you seek it. I pray you seek it, and I think He'll be faithful to show it to you, and you'll find it. And if you know His will, and you know what you need to do, I pray you not put that off either, that you heed to it, that you heed to that calling, whatever it is, and that we do it. You know, we want to see our church grow. We want to see our church prosper. We want to see our church reach as many people as possible. We are the church. And the way that's going to happen is by each and every one of us here tonight doing His will in our lives. And when we do that, we're unstoppable, unmovable, and we're never shaken. So your prayer, our prayer ought to be, God, let your will be done in our lives. And when it's done in our lives, it'll be done in our church. And when it's done in our church, it'll be done in our communities. And it'll spread like fire. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time you've given us to open your word tonight. We thank you for this story and this example in your word tonight. And Father, I just pray for each one of your people here tonight, Lord. I pray that you help us every day of our lives to show that we would eagerly seek your will in our lives, Lord. And Father, when you show it to us, Father, I pray that we have the courage, that we have the strength to step out in faith, and that we do your will above all things, Lord. Father, I pray now that you would just guide us, that you would direct us in your business, Father, and that each thing we do would bring honor and glory to you. And I ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.